Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. I am your host, Abraham Hamilton the Third, and I am, I'm a bit perturbed here. You know, Bob got an earful before we got going, and we'll get to the highlights. We'll talk about some of the things Super Tuesday related and all of that, but there are other stories that you need to be aware of, and there's no neat way to put this, no clean way to put this. Not that I would try to make a euphemism anyway. We literally have an Oval Office occupant and an entire administration, I would argue, that is actively working against the United States of America, actively violating our laws. Oh, man. We'll get to it, but I need to get to the Word of God first today. As every day, I need to get to the Word of God first, because this is just, there's no way to explain this other than just to say exactly what it is. Nevertheless, welcome to the Hamilton Corner. Thank you for joining the program today. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III, joined by the Corner Contingent. Right across from me, my man, 100 grand, Mr. Bobby Rosa, is in the building. In the screening room, we have producer extraordinaire, the real J-Mac. Often imitated, never duplicated. And he's like, uh-oh, it's going to be one of those days. I can tell already. Just like, oh, boy, here we go. Here we go. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you're right. It's going to be one of those days, you know. This is, boy, this is. At this very moment, many of you are transitioning from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome. And as you do so, I want to remind you and myself that what goes on in your house is far more important than what goes on in the White House. We're going to get into it, but did you guys know? I mean, this, I don't know why this is not headline news everywhere, but did you guys know that Hunter Biden admitted in sworn testimony that the email scheme first testified about publicly by Tony Bobulinski, and the email that was revealed on Hunter Biden's laptop from Hades, that, you know, that was Russian disinformation for 2.5 years for most of Goebbels Inc. in our country, and many of our fellow citizens had no idea about it because of the concerted effort to keep the information from the American people. You know, the kind of stuff that's done in communist Russia, communist China. You know, when they don't like things that circle, they just shut the whole internet down. In China, that's what they'll do. And the reality is, I'm not surprised. Not at all surprised. But it's happening out in front. And the thing that is somewhat revolting is just to see how extensive the tentacles run that show how many people are complicit with the active efforts to decimate our nation. Hunter Biden testified in sworn testimony that the email that was recovered from his laptop, that at first denied it was even his, now he's admitting, yeah, the email's real. And Tony Bobulinski told everybody, hey, and by the way, you know, this email when it says a 10% on the side for the big guy, that was the scheme for Pops, who was then almost former vice president. Well, Hunter Biden just testified under oath. Yeah, yeah, the big guy was my dad. Why is that not all over our media? Why? So, oh my goodness. Remember when the laptop came out in 2016? from 2016 to like 2019, it was a blackout. It didn't exist. It was not true. And now all of a sudden, drip by drip by drip, yeah, it was true. It was legit. And yeah, that was him on there smoking crack on video. On video. We'll get to that. 2 Kings chapter 6. Lord, help me. I need the Lord's help. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 through 13. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 8 through 13. That's not the only story. We're going to get into it. I mean, I know a lot of people want to talk about Super Tuesday, but 2 Kings chapter 6. Thank you, Lord. Verses 8 through 13. This account is in scripture that follows the conversation we had during NRB when we talked about Naaman. And Naaman's healing brought a peace between the nations of Israel, the nations of Israel and Syria, albeit temporarily. All right, I'll pick up chapter 6, verse 8. And this is what the word of God says. Now, the king of Aram was warring against Israel. Again, the raiding bands had stopped, but the Syrians, the Arameans, went to war again against Israel. And he counseled with his servants, saying, meaning the king of Aram counseled with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. The man of God, Elisha, sent word to the king of Israel. At this time, it was Jehoram, the second oldest son of the wicked king Ahab. The man of God, Elisha, sent word to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Arameans are coming down there. The king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, so that he guarded himself there more than once or twice. Now the heart of the king of Aram was enraged over this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, will you tell me which of us is for the king of Israel? One of his servants said, no, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who was in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. So he said, the king of Aram said, go and see where he is that I may send and take him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. He sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. All right, I'm going to stop right there. Surrounded the city. The first thing I want to point out to you is that it is noteworthy that the Lord records that after Naaman, the general of the Syrian army, was healed following Elisha's instructions, that there was peace between Israel and Syria temporarily. Because verse 8 in chapter 6 shows that there was a resuming of military tension. Military tension. One of the major points that I want to illustrate for you from there is that we should never misconstrue temporary relief with deliverance or liberty. Nor should we be satisfied merely with temporary relief. What we must press forward toward is complete deliverance, complete liberty, a completeness of God's work in us that ultimately will only be complete at our glorification. But what I'm talking about, you know, sometimes people say, I'm sorry, just because they got caught. And other times people say, I'm sorry, because they really want to blunt and mute the consequences of what they may have gotten caught by. But those things are not synonymous with having hearts of contrition, to where there's a personal grief, a mourning internally that they have been estranged from God. In this instance, what King Jehoram should have sought to accomplish following Naaman's miraculous healing was to allow a lasting and enduring peace, but that did not transpire. It was a temporary phenomenon. There are people right now, with the prevalence of wickedness in our nation, that they really just want some form of relief, but they're not looking for lasting change. This is why I just offer by way of reminder. A thriving economy doesn't make a nation great. Now, don't get me wrong. I enjoy a thriving economy. You know, I've said that before. I enjoy a thriving economy. But what God desires is for the people's hearts in our land to change. For our nation to repent. Some will settle for something short of what God desires to establish. And I'm simply saying, let us set our course, set our hearts to where we yearn for and we desire what God desires, and we do not have a disposition where we'll settle for anything short of what God desires. Then we continue on in this text, and this is one of the prominent portions of Scripture that confirms the the maxim that I've adopted: sin makes you stupid. Because it does. Many of you have heard me say that, and as you go about your lives, you interact with different people, you go, man, see that sin, man, sin does make you stupid. This is remarkable that this is recorded for us in Scripture. So verse 9 then transitions to Elisha sending word to Jehoram. It's not the other way around. Jehoram isn't asking for an audience with Elisha. Elisha initiates communications with Jehoram in verse 9. It says, the man of God sent word to the king of Israel saying, hey, be careful. Don't take your army this way. Don't go this way because the Aramaeans are over there. Jehoram was wicked in a whole lot of ways, but he ain't foolish enough to ignore Elisha. So look at verse 10. The king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him so that he guarded himself there more than once or twice. Jehoram took Elisha's advice. The Hebrew rendering there saying it happens multiple times over and over and over again that King Jehoram's military, the Israelite military, was able to avoid danger in death in many instances because they heeded the word of Elisha, the man of God. Then verse 11. Now the heart of the king of Aram, the Syrian king, is enraged over this. He's trying to figure it out. So he calls his servants, his cabinet advisors, he calls his advisors in. And he, you know, this is maybe just me. It makes me think about that scene in Martin. We got the fake dog, stuffed dog. Which one of y'all are the ones that are two-timing me? You say you're loyal to me, but you're loyal to the king. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Look at Jeff cracking up over there. The king of Aram, the king of Syria, says, which one of y'all are spies for the nation of Israel? Because somebody has got to be spying out, because every time we try to go in, you know, New Orleans had this phenomenon, time they would sneak people. Every time we go to try to sneak somebody, he always knows, the king of Israel already knows where we're going to be. So we can never execute our plans. Then one of the servants, one of the advisors, speaks up and says, no, my lord, it ain't that any of us are spies. We're not two-timing. We're not, you know, we're not pulling the Benedict Arnold, even though Benedict Arnold wasn't born yet. We're not both sides in this thing. There's a prophet in Israel. Have you forgotten? Because you see, this is the same Benadad that was the one that let Naaman go to get healed in the first place. Have you forgotten there's a man of God in Israel? And the secrets you share in your bedchambers, the Lord reveals it to him. Now the advisors are telling him, man, nobody is spying, man. The prophet of God has insight from God. So then, case in point of sin making you stupid, your plans are being snuffed out to where you can't even sneak attack the Israelites, yet the king of Aram says, well, go and see where he is so that we may go and capture him. You can't even launch an attack on the Israelite military because of the prophet of God. Now you think the Lord is not going to reveal to him that now you want to try to capture him? Sin makes you stupid. The Syrian king didn't realize that the same God who revealed to Elisha the plans that he had to attack the Israelite military would be the one who would reveal to him his efforts to capture Elisha. Sin makes you stupid. I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. The heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks, is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heart can be heard on an ultrasound. That's where preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion by simply providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious babies. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. I'll never forget when we were doing a time of devotions at home, and my oldest son heard this, and we were reading this passage, and my son stopped me and said, wait, Daddy, wait, would you read that again? I said, read what part again? He said, just go back and read it again. He said, so read the verses I just read to you guys in the previous segment. And he said, so the Lord revealed to Elisha the battle plans that the Syrian king developed. The Israelite king heeded Elisha's warning, which thwarted the Syrian king's battle plans. So then the Syrian king, this is what my son says, the Syrian king has the bright idea to say, I know what we're going to do. Instead of attacking the Israelite military, let's go and capture Elisha. It is. I said, yeah, man, that's what happens. My son says, why does he think he'll be successful now? Your previous efforts at attacks were unsuccessful. So why do you think now all of a sudden? So I explained to him, remember, the scripture says he was enraged. So when people are enraged, their capacities for logic and reason tend to fall by the wayside, and they're letting their emotions dictate. All he knows is he's upset and wants to do something about it. If you remember, the account goes on in scripture to where just as this all happens, and a huge military contingent surrounds Elisha's hometown of Dothan, surrounds the whole town. And the Bible reveals that Elisha's servant had gone out early in the morning. Y'all remember this? And he saw the Syrian army, and so he was afraid. And he cried out to Elisha, and then Elisha responds to the servant by saying, don't be afraid. He says, Lord, open this young man's eyes so that he may see. And as he prayed, the young man's eyes are opened, and he sees surrounding the Syrian army the chariots and horsemen of heaven. But I brought that out to you just to offer a reminder. And this is an encouragement that I need, frankly, as well. That with all of the promulgation of wickedness, all of the scheming, all of the things that are happening, remember that none of that scheming can overthrow the omnipotent creator of heaven and earth. And so we would do well to place our confidence solely and squarely in him, especially in these precarious and tumultuous times. All right. This weekend, Saturday morning, North Dallas Community Bible Fellowship, men's breakfast. We're going to have a great time with the fellas talking about encouraging one another and biblical manhood. It's going to be a great time there. And then on Sunday, this Sunday, by God's grace, I am scheduled to deliver the sermon at North Dallas Community Bible Fellowship. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time. And I've been announcing this is coming up, and I'm sharing this so that you can get your registration in, because I don't want anybody to say we didn't say anything, that I didn't say anything to you. And if the conference gets sold out, I should say when it's sold out, I don't want any of the corner crew to say, Abe, you didn't tell us. July 18th through the 20th, the Culture Proof Conference is happening at Faith Baptist Church in Bartlett, Tennessee, right outside of Memphis, Tennessee. It's going to be an amazing, amazing time. The theme for the conference is resist. It's resist. You can go to cultureproof.net to register. We'll have a youth apologetics track. There will also be a Culture Proof Teens track. And then something that is new, that there will also be workshops and sessions promulgated specifically for young adults. All right. So that is something that is a new component of the conference that will be available. Go to cultureproof.net to register. Once you go to the site, you'll see all of the speakers. You'll see Dr. Jason Lyle, Dr. Renton Rathbun, who's man, just a great contribution to the Body of Christ. His brother's grasp on worldview is just phenomenal. And his definition of worldview, frankly, is the best I have ever heard. And I have always given him credit, but I have adopted it and I employ it as well after hearing him teach on it. You will have Kathy Cook, who is an amazing teacher from the Celebrate Kids Ministry. You'll have Will and Mickey Addison. It's going to be an amazing time there. My wife will be heading up the youth apologetics for the Culture Proof Kids. It's going to be a great, great, great time. Cultureproof.net is the website to go where you can register. All right, let's get to it. Many of you know this already, but Super Tuesday voting occurred yesterday, where you had 15 states who voted for Republican primaries. You had multiple other states voting in Democratic primaries. Former President Trump won 14 of 15 states. His performance was so sweeping that he almost secured the total number of delegates necessary to be awarded the GOP presidential nomination last night. He is 19 delegates short from that number. Following the Super Tuesday results, the lone remaining challenger to former President Trump, Nikki Haley, dropped out of the race. And it's like, really, she probably should have dropped out after her own hometown of her home state of South Carolina, you know, where she used to be governor, expressed their preference for former President Trump there. But she continued to press forward. But now she has suspended her campaign. And I know some people have questions why they use the term suspending their campaign. They use that terminology intentionally to allow them wiggle room to do some funny things with the money. I'm just telling you. The money they raised for their presidential campaign, if they say they're terminating their presidential campaign, then they would have some different accounting that would have to take place. Just so you know. So just letting you know a little bit of that on that front. But man, so here we go. Trump and Biden part two. Man. I'm just going to say I think that America missed an opportunity without having Ron DeSantis as the GOP nominee. I think so. I think it's amazing. You had an op-ed in the New York Times just yesterday, I believe it was, where Nancy Reagan's assistant basically addresses Jill Biden, you know, you're going to call her Dr. Jill Biden, and saying that she is really not serving her husband well by encouraging him to continue to run for the presidency. So while these things are progressing, you have some of the normal regressive outfits continuing to amplify their consternations over a Biden candidacy. I just don't think that's coincidence. Now, how's it all going to shake out? I've been on record, you know, and if I'm proven wrong, I will admit that I was wrong. But I've been on record that I said that I did not believe that Mr. Joseph Robinette Biden would be the Democratic nominee for the presidency in 2024. That's what I said. Now, if you just look at all the things that where it's happening, timing and all, it seems like I was wrong. But the nomination still has not transpired. So we'll see. I just don't think it's a coincidence that all of a sudden now you have all of these outlets consistently over and over and over pointing to Joe Biden's age, talking about him being feeble. Now you have these, you know, outfits like Saturday Night Live and others. Now they're starting to crack jokes about Joe Biden. Like, what? Now? Now? It ain't like he just started, you know, looking for invisible people and speaking to dead people. That didn't just happen. But now they're doing it. I just think that there's more there to there. Interestingly enough, even this is a small territory, but the current Oval Office occupant, Mr. Joseph Robinette Biden, becomes the first person in American presidential political history to carry the description of incumbent that loses a primary. Yes, you heard me right. I guess I should go back. I'll go back to that. But in American Samoa, some dude named Jason Palmer, who is a businessman, the Democrats in American Samoa said, we'd rather have Mr. Palmer than Mr. Biden. that's what he said. That's what they said by the election results. So that's a first in American presidential political history to where an incumbent lost a primary. I mentioned that Mr. Trump won 14 out of the 15 states on Super Tuesday. The sole state's Republican Party voters that did not vote in favor of Mr. Trump was Vermont. So Vermont was the one state that did not vote for Mr. Trump. So here we are, 19 delegates away. Mr. Trump, the Democrat Party didn't even allow anyone to oppose Mr. Ice Cream Man. And so here we are. Now, this particular piece of, this is a short clip I'm going to play now. It bothered me for obvious reasons when you hear it. But the bright lights over at MSNBC. And my mama told me, can't say nothing good, Abe, don't say nothing at all. The bright lights. That's what I'm going to call them. They got a kick out of Republican voters in Virginia. And when you hear the story I'm going to share with you after I share this story with you, you're going to see why it bothered me so much. They mocked Republican voters in Virginia because in exit polling, according to them, the Virginia voters in the Republican primary listed illegal immigration as their number one concern. And they got a hearty belly laugh at that notion. And it was Jen Circleback Psaki, Joyless Reid. I don't know how anybody watches her. Joyless Reid and what's her name? Mad Cow? Rachel. She only comes on like once every 3 weeks, right? But she makes like $27 million to be on. Well, that's not a bad gig. Rachel Maddow, Circleback Psaki, and Joyless Reid, they had a nice chuckle at the expense of Virginia Republican voters. Listen to this and watch this. It is clip number 2. Go.
I mean, if you look at some of these exit polls, I mean, I live in Virginia. Immigration was the number one issue. Yeah. Again, these could change in Virginia.
Well, Virginia does have a border with West Virginia. Very, very contested area.
Build a wall. Like, what? I mean, when I was in New Hampshire, people were talking about the northern border as a threat. Because Trump has indoctrinated people with this fear of people who do not look like them being a threat to them.
Is that what it is, Circleback? That's what it is? That's what you think? And it's the thing that bothers me. So let's just be real about something, all right? Circleback Psaki, you're saying you live in Virginia. You live in eastern Washington, D.C. That's where you live. You're talking about Northern Virginia. Northern Virginia is the overflow of Washington, D.C. Stop fronting like you a true and blue Virginian. Because you're not. And anybody knows anything about Virginia and, frankly, other parts of the country, they know that the states are not unanimous in their perspectives all across the state. So just because you are, the extremities of Washington, D.C., and you don't care about illegal immigration, how dare you mock these people because they're concerned about it? Just last week, we played on this show how now New York City's mayor, Eric Adams, is changing his tune on illegal immigration. And they're saying, oh, it's no problem because of their proximity to the border. And even go further and say, well, yeah, they do share a border with West Virginia. And then Joyless Reed. And what is she doing with that blonde hair? I don't know what she's doing with that hair. She talking about build a wall. Build a wall between Virginia and West Virginia. The thing that bothers me, it once again typifies this kind of elitist snobbery. To where, like, just because people have a different perspective than you, you automatically think, oh, well, they're just unenlightened rubes who don't know. Why would anybody in Virginia be concerned about illegal immigration? It's just because they're afraid of people who don't look like them. How do you know? So you scoured all of Virginia. How many people in Virginia actually look just like? These people, these are the kinds of people that were described as useful idiots. They're yucking it up on MSNBC and trying to make it like using their platforms to try to make it appear, oh, nothing is going on in the country. Nothing is going on that should cause these people. They have an irrational concern. Irrational concern when the truth is, circle back, your president, the one you worked for, is responsible for inviting at a minimum, and these are the official numbers, which are always far less than what actually is reality, just during this last administration, 7.3 and counting million illegal immigrants, illegal aliens. Even that, illegal immigrants, illegal aliens. That is a technical legal term in our federal law. And they're doing it intentionally. Intentionally. Oh, this next story is going to really crystallize that for you. Because I don't want to start it too soon, but I'll start off with the highlights and then get into the details of it. Did you know? Oh, man, this burnt. This is the thing that had me. Well, this is one of the things that had me uncomfortable walking into the studio. Did you know that from January 2023 to December 2023, in an effort to reduce the tally of illegal aliens crossing our southern border, that the Biden administration has secretly flown more than 320,000 illegal aliens to 43 different airports in the United States of America directly from foreign countries. And they intentionally did that so that the illegal border crosser numbers would not continue to rise at the same intensity that it was rising in. So you know what that reveals? That these demons knew all along. Not only did they know, they wanted it to happen, and they used your tax money and my tax money to pay for flights from foreign countries into our nation in violation of federal law.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back. Yeah. What I am telling you, ladies and gentlemen, about the 320,000, more than, at least 320,000, is not the product of my surmising. The information has now been ascertained as a result of a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit. To where the Biden administration admitted that the entire year of 2023, they were flying illegal aliens all over the country. Listen to this report. Clip number 3. Go.
Biden administration reportedly admitting to secretly flying 320,000 illegal migrants into 43 U.S. airports last year. This is a blockbuster admission. According to the Center for Immigration Studies, this was part of President Biden's expansion of the CBP, one app. CBP One app. It allows migrants to apply for travel authorization and temporary humanitarian release from these airports. Customs and Border Patrol sources told Fox News that Border Patrol apprehended more than 141,000 illegal migrants in February. And of that number, over 70% were in blue states, Arizona, California, New Mexico. Texas, which has 5 out of the 9 Border Patrol sectors along the border, saw just over 42,000 apprehensions in February. I mean, this is pretty stunning that the administration is admitting that they actually took these migrants and flew them into cities and states across the country.
Guys, it is. Remember when I covered the story here and I showed you the video footage from the airport in Chicago at O'Hare? When they had all these black curtains up and you had all these illegal aliens in the airport and people in the city was like, why do you have all these people sleeping in the airport? Same thing happened in the Atlanta airport, where you had curtains and you had areas of the airport that are off guard. Nobody can go in. And people was like, what is going on here? It is now coming. It is just, man, it's rich. Remember when you had, regressives complaining about Texas Governor Greg Abbott busing illegal aliens from the southern border to different places around the country, and Ron DeSantis, when these jokers were flying them from foreign nations, flying them in from foreign airports. I don't know how many of you listening to me have gone through the process as an American citizen to get passports to travel. But guys, and I'll explain why I'm saying what I'm saying. Our law does not allow for this. So what technically transpired, what we now know, is that the Biden administration expanded usage of the CBP One app to where they had a two-step process for illegal aliens that in their own countries, they ain't even have to start traveling anywhere. They start the process for claiming asylum in their own countries. The first step is they book flights through the CBP One app. They book flights. And in the process of booking the flights, they apply for a temporary, what's called a parole status, to enter the country that allows them to work for 2 years, and then they would have to report to a court proceeding. Has anybody tracked how many of these people have reported to court proceedings? And so what often happened is you have these people arriving in the United States of America at the various airports, but their application for the parole work status hadn't come in yet, so they have to stay in the airport until they get notified from our government. Now you can leave the airport. Now you're free to move about the American cabin. Go work. Go wherever you want to go. Go wherever you want to go. Oh, guys. I'm living for a host of reasons. First, I've done shows on the disparate impact on the employment opportunities in America's inner cities that are directly impacted by illegal immigration. We've been talking about the criminality. We have our own criminality problem in America, but the one type of crime that is completely preventable is crimes committed by illegal aliens. Then when you learn in this, you can't square this circle. Then when you learn that the Biden administration intentionally created the scheme to fly illegal immigrants from their home countries expressly to avoid inflating the numbers of illegal border crossings. When these jokers are saying, we have the borders being secured, we're reduction here, reduction there. Yeah, because you're flying them in. You're flying them in. Guys, these people, the Biden administration and Joseph Robin Biden himself is actively working against the United States of America. That is an enemy of our republic. The one who has taken an oath to enforce our federal laws and to uphold and to defend our Constitution is actively violating it. Secretly, all last year, the Center for Immigration Studies has filed an additional lawsuit to get information specifically about all the countries where these illegal aliens flew from. And guess what has happened? The CBP has responded, get this, I'm going to read it directly from their response. The airport locations were not disclosed due to fear that bad actors would inflict harm on public safety or the information would create law enforcement vulnerabilities. The CBP lawyers explained further, quote, revealing the airports would reveal information about the relative number of individuals arriving, currently arriving, guys. Still arriving, it's still happening. Will reveal information about the relative number of individuals arriving and thus resources expended at particular airports. That would in turn reveal operational vulnerabilities that could be exploited by bad actors, altering their patterns of conduct, adopting new methods of operation, and taking other countermeasures that would compromise our ability to secure the border. How are you securing the border when you're flying them over the border? Why isn't this front page headline news all over our country? I'll tell you why. Because we've entered the era of the American Pravda. Guys, these people are actively working against our country. It's not as if they're ignorant. They're not ignorant as to what goes on. That's why I circle back socking on them, laugh. Legal immigration is such a concern for Virginia voters because they know what's going on. They know what's going on. At a foundational low level, they understand y'all are bringing these people in here because you want to make them lifelong Democrats. That's a low level. On a broader level, you are inviting these people here because you don't even know who they all are, where they're coming from. I reported to you and then like seeing these dots connect. All these folks in the airports in these cities. Black curtains up. It's so secret. Shh, get the cameras out. I can't come here. What's going on? When the executive branch of our own federal government is flying illegal aliens all over the world into 43 different airports. In our own nation, though CBP refuses to release the entire list as to where these people came from, the Center for Immigration Studies was able to learn that the only people that are eligible to apply for CBP-1 apps are citizens from Cuba, Haiti, Venezuela, Nicaragua, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Colombia, and Ecuador. So that's one part, and I've already started sharing the other part with you, and I'm so grateful that I started the show the way I did. After years of denials, Hunter Biden finally acknowledges that the big guy is actually his pops. We've been saying this for years. Tony Bobulinski shared this before the 2020 election. Hunter Biden's laptop was revealed before the 2020 election. These people intentionally lied to the American public. You had executive agencies going to places like Facebook and the Twitter say, hey, by the way, there's a story that may or may not be coming out, wink, wink. And if it, you know, it has all the markings of Russian disinformation, wink, wink. And it probably is going to include some things like, oh, I don't know, a laptop that Hunter had and, you know, some emails on it. We just want you to know that is not true. It's actually disinformation. So all of these, you know, useful idiots went along with it. Zuckerbucks and before Elon Musk bought Twitter and all, yes, can't share this. I shared on this program how after the 2020 election, how there were a significant percentage of people who voted for Joe Biden in 2020 who said if we didn't know about that laptop story, there's no way we'd have voted for him. You want to know a surefire way when regressives are doing something, they're accusing conservatives of doing what they're actually doing. I remember watching Tony Bobulinski's interview. I played audio clips from it on this show. All of these people are complicit, not just Mr. Robinette. What about all of the people in the administration executing these plans, scheduling the flights, booking the flights, paying the money, accessing the treasury to get the funds paid so they can fly in over here? all of these media outfits. They come back 3 years later. Oh, by the way, the laptop story was true, actually. And now this crack-smoking miscreant, I'm sick of playing kid gloves with this guy. Who in the right mind going to believe that this crack-smoking, porn, hooker-hiring miscreant is going to be someone that businessmen all over the world are going to say, yeah, we want him on our team. Our business will be better served when we add Hunter to our board. Don't TT on my head and tell me it's raining. This is absurd. This is absurd. And in the meantime, these people are actively working to destroy this country. Actively working. When you have the sitting administration, and I left this part out, the CBP saying that they refuse to disclose the airports where these people are coming from. They're trying to say it's because you want to protect the border. You're not protecting the border. You're flying over the border. The real reason why they don't want to reveal it, because they know once the technical details are exposed, that they will be accountable for violating federal law themselves. That's why they don't want to disclose it. How could you be actively violating our laws concerning the border and then say, yeah, we're doing this to protect the border? You're lying. Getting back to this Hunter Biden testimony, this was today. I'm sorry, not today. This was early on, last week, actually. Hunter Biden admitted in testimony, under oath, that, yeah, my dad was a big guy, but he tried to explain it away. So this is what he said. He said, quote, oh, yeah, it was a pie-in-the-sky idea. Like, Joe Biden's out of the office. Maybe we'll be able to get him involved. Remember, again, this is Joe Biden for the first time in 48 years. He's not an elected official, and is not seeking office. And so James, who is the one who sent the email, James Gillar, is probably like, wow, wouldn't it be great if a former vice president could be in our business together? End quote. He thinks he's explaining it away. Why would it be good for the former vice president to be in your business? What value does that add to your business? But, you know, you got to circle back and sock it, and they're laughing at Virginia voters. They ain't talking about Hunter admitting that his dad is the big guy. Admitting it? You and I, if you've been listening to this program, this is not new information for you. But there's some people, and there's some of you who are listening that you haven't been listening for a while. I never forget, there was one lady who called this show to say, all Abe does is lie on the show. That's what she called to say. And we asked her, can you identify one lie that Abe has told? She could not. What she revealed is that she didn't like what I was sharing, and the usual outlets where she gets her information did not cover what I was addressing. Just like, I guarantee you, most of these places, these regressive outlets, these American Pravda outlets, are not covering the fact that Hunter Biden admitted under oath that his dad was the big guy, just as Tony Babalinski said years ago, just as the email said years ago, and that his father and their administration are actively flying illegal aliens into our country with taxpayer money. But thanks be to God that we are not subject to the machinations of wicked people, that we have our confidence in one who supersedes and who raises up leaders and takes one down. Tonight, I got to get out of the studio and gonna hug my babies because my blood is boiling too hot. Y'all have a good night.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.